was so blessed that we got to take 2 weeks off, and it was just so neat how the church, Kevin and Kurt last week, and just all of you just took care of things, and it was very, it was really, it's good for me to be able to do that, and things still go well here, and the ministry, the things that happen, so that y'all bless me for doing that and doing it so well. I was, I woke up early, and there's it's just difficult to keep your heart in a place of peace with what's going on in our nation right now, and you can try to stay away from it. You can run, but you can't hide, and I work hard at not engaging in that stuff with people, especially unbelievers and out in the world, and trying not to, you know, go there. You still get it. You're like, you know, staying very whatever, and it still comes, and it's so grieving and upsetting, and this is true of anything or anybody that you're in covenant with or that you love deeply. When they're assaulted, spoken badly of, misrepresented, etc., it is hard, and it's hard not to rise up, and it's hard to just manage that. It's difficult. It's always difficult. Like, you know, it's like you want to say, you know, don't badmouth my Jesus, don't badmouth my wife, don't badmouth my president. Like, you know, because. I've made a covenant. He is my president, and for better or for worse. And it doesn't matter on any given day whether he behaves well or bad, you know, good or bad, or because there is a belief system. I have a story and came to that. So I had, just because of different things that I'm hearing, trying not to hearing, and it left me when we went to bed last night. That thing was back on us, like it just came, trying to hide from it. And I woke up real early again, 2 a.m, I think, and was fine. So I just got up, had a headache, you know, the weather and the pressure, you know, the stuff's going on with everybody. And I went out to the couch, and just where we always sit and pray and read and do whatever. And I just had this time with the Lord, and I just started just entering into something. But I want to share that something has changed with me, and it was through prayers that I prayed while we were on vacation. It was a real rest, like vacations can not be restful. This one was. It was 2 weeks of just really, really good, restful, disengaging from work and labor, and just enjoying people that we were with and enjoying the Lord, and I got a lot of time to pray and commit things to the Lord. And out of that, coming back, I was surprised by some things that happened, some words I got, some things that I was reading this book that we're doing, The Unseen Realm, and really getting ministered to by that, and just discovering a whole different aspect of God that is just opened up my heart. Like, it's not even necessarily the intention of the book, but it's opened up something for me. I was able to dedicate time to just really sit and receive, and Kevin had a word that surprised me and ministered something, and then yesterday we met with Dwayne and Senior. You said you had no idea what you said. Like, we were like praying about something else, and then you related something. And I don't know, how is it that a lot of people can encourage you, and then someone says something, and it seems to get all the way in? And so I was sitting with the Lord, and something has changed. And you know how we pray, and there's that anxiety in the prayers, and the anxiousness, and the desperateness, and if you can prove to God you're desperate enough, maybe he'll answer this one, you know, that thing, and you're trying to get stuff off of you, and it was different. And I begin to just, I entered into that throne of grace room. I was just able to be there. And I had this whole different aspect of the Father. And I was able to, I was just sitting. I thanked him for the president, just sitting there thanking him for all that he's done for us in these year, these 3 years, what he's accomplished and what he's meant. And then I cast my vote on the throne of grace and ask, like I asked that the president would be reelected. I would encourage all of you, you know, we have to cast our vote here in this time, this season. Cast your vote in heaven, because Jeremy Slupo came, shared with us several years ago, ministered to us, and something he had talked about intercession, and he said the real things that determine where the country is going and what happens is when intercessors enter into that throne room of grace, that they perceive what the heart of God is, they wait until they know it, and then they go and move. And just like you would go to, for us, the county seat is Lisbon, drive there and on purpose petition the courts for something. Petition, like go and purposefully, I cast my vote, I ask that this will happen. It was so peaceful, and there was no anxiousness. It was very peaceful. I had this time just to do that, and like, wow. And I've had this revelation, it came out of this, like, what on God's earth is going on with people and the conflict and the intensity? And it's like, it's beyond understand. Like, what is this? You don't even know how to talk to people. I started to see something, and I had a question when people would say bizarre things, and I would be like, and they're so convinced, and I'm like, where are you getting that information? Like, who told you that? Like, where did that come from? Kind of like back to the garden. Who told you were naked? Where did that information? You've got information. Where did it come from? And I realized that I have sources that I listen to. I get my information from places that I trust and people that I trust, and that trust is built over time. And I've been very active about researching and looking for voices and information that I trust. And then this came together, trust and faith. Maybe our issue in the church isn't so much that we have a lack of faith as it is that we have a lack of trust. Because until you fully trust the Lord and until you fully trust Jesus, what he says is hard to believe. Like Hebrews 4 that I just referred to, entering into the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness. I've known that scripture all of my life, but all of a sudden, because of something I finally knew about God and hearing things like this living, thank God we have this prophetic ears that we believe, that we receive and hear. We hear what the Spirit's saying. And once you perceive and your trust level goes up with who the Father is and who Jesus is and how they feel about you, now you're in a position to really believe what they say. Is that not true? Do you not, like, you've come to a place where first trust, and I think that this is like something we should pay more attention to. And so that is why, where I am with our atmosphere in our country right now. Like, I believe things, but I believe them because it come information that I, in time, I've come to a place where I trust that. Then once I trust, then when I hear and I put, then I begin to, I'm able to believe. And I think applied to our walk with the Lord, this is huge. And it also helps you to understand you're probably not going to win arguments. So don't engage in it. Don't engage in that conflict. It won't help. Like, it won't fix things. And you need to look at people that you care about and you're working with and wherever, whatever the situation is, and realize they're listening to some source that they trust, and you're listening to some source and information that you trust. And until those two things get together, there's going to, and because when I started to look at it that way and realize that's what was going on, I could just calmly go, I don't believe that information, because I don't believe that source. I have reasons for it, but I believe this. And so what I feel is based on what I believe. And so it takes the, it's like, I'm not going to convince you because you're listening to something else. If someone asks you, and then if you by chance or are able to win someone's confidence to trust you, when you're going to buy a house, you find people that you can trust to look at the house. What do you think of this house? Is this a good house? Some people take me along to when they're buying their houses, like, and what's that it's about? It's about, would you come and look at things that I wouldn't know to look at? And would you come and, you know, give me your advice about this? And I've said to, yeah, it's just funny. All of a sudden, there's several people that ask me to do that. And I'll be like, wow, no, bones are bad in this. Like, do not, I know it looks okay. It's not. It's not okay. Don't do this. And so they're like, oh, because I don't have to convince them. I just give them my feelings about it, my evaluation, because of this trust issue. When that's there, then you believe people. Moving from that to this, which the same element is here. On vacation, like, I'll get, and I tell you all this, I tell you all the time, our children, when they're, I get prophetic words when I just see them. I don't know why this happens to me. I probably go to a big conference someplace important and not get what I get from watching our children. The Lord just uses them, speak to me. This morning, when we were practicing, did the rest of the worship team, did you guys see, the girls are probably gone with their kids. So we were practicing, and we were really into one of the songs, and it was very intense. And the children had started to show up that are the worship team members' children, Ezra, Tirza, Shiloh, Lincoln, and they're in, and they begin this thing. They begin running, like, it's like being good adults. We're like, don't run in church, you know, we have all those things. But I'm very permissive until it really becomes a problem, so they get away with murder. And I'm up here practicing and singing, and I'm watching them run. Well, I have this revelation that in the throne room, there's circular motion. I can't explain that, but it shows up in different scriptures, wheels, which are round and spinning. And I'm watching them, and we're really into one of the songs, God of Revival or I Breakthrough. I don't know what it was. They were just buzzing, all four, five, six of them, around and around and around they went. And what really, I almost broke out laughing because, you know, there's lightnings and thunderings in the throne, and little Lincoln's running around with his, you know, I tease Summer and Adam all the time about his long hair flowing in the, you know, and his mother won't cut it, and I'm just like, it's hopeless, like, Lord Jesus. And he's running through, and he's, you know, just runs and runs and runs, and his shoes have those light up little lights in them, and they're, I'm like, we got it all right here. This is throne room worship. You know, it's happening. There's motion, there's lightnings, there's whatever it was. Yeah, funny moment. So I'm on vacation, and I get three or four prophetic pictures, like all of a sudden, like a snapshot, boom, and the Lord enlightens those. I'm not that prophetic, though I love it. But I see these, and then I go, I see it like, whoa, and then, Lord, what does that mean? What is that? And one of the things that I got that I want to share today was There's always men fishing on the seashore, on the shore. And the ocean, there's like, when we went to Redding in California and got to go there a few times, Phyllis and I, there's like, I would call it visual therapy, just getting to stand and just looking at the mountains, looking at Mount Shasta, you know, and the snow-capped mountain. It just, and because we're not worshiping that, but just like, Jesus, thank you. It's just beautiful. I'm just enjoying, can you just soak it in anymore? It's just so beautiful, beautiful. And Yosemite, and we got to see things that were just like, they just ministered to your soul because they're the handiwork of the Father that made us and created all things. And you just drink it in. Like, it, pictures just don't do any of those things justice. And being near the ocean that is larger, like, it just ministered to me. Well, like, I felt like the eternal God was like, it just ministered to me. And like, it's his handiwork. He created this in his, you know, it has his flavor all over it. And the sky, like, we have sky here, but they really have sky, like, especially in Ohio, there's always trees in the way and this and that in the way. And to get to see in the moon, the sunrise, the sunsets, and all the different things. And we just couldn't soak it in enough. And we had, the second week, we had a room that was close to the ocean. We were able to open the window. So several nights, I just got to sleep with the window open with the ocean just outside, like, awesome, awesome. Can you say awesome? So I see all these fishermen, which is kind of normal when you're on the beach. There's always a couple guys standing there with two poles and a PVC pipe sticking, you know, and it's like, I never see them catch any fish. Very seldom. If they do, it's like, oh, I just throw that back. Like, I don't know, you know, oops, you know. Was that your bait? You know, that kind of thing. So, and Ryan loves to fish, my son-in-law, and so he had taken his poles down and, but they were catching fish this time, and there were, because of the time of the year, there's more, the beach is different this time of year, and they were catching fish. And I watched this for this 2 weeks. You just see the fishermen, see them, don't pay a lot of attention. I like raising fish, I don't like catching fish. Like, I'm more like, let's raise some koi and pet them and call them Nemo, that, you know, that kind of thing, that's me. So I'm like, you know, catching, I'm like, oh, do we have to do, you know, that's, so I'm speaking. And all of a sudden, towards the end of the second week, I get this boom of all of the fishermen, and I've been watching subconsciously all their activity, and I, like, boom, the Lord highlights the fishermen and what they're doing, and there's a look to these men and women. There's a look, and I got a snapshot, and that it was like multiple pictures in my mind, and I saw it, and I'm like, and I hear the Lord saying, I'll make you fishers of men. Like, it was a call to being fishers of men. And I'm like, yeah. And there's a lot of activity in this. My father-in-law would go up to Lake Erie with his cousin, I believe he was his cousin, yeah, and had a boat, and they would go out on Lake Erie. Of course, they were both retired, so they were able to do this a lot. And I never saw my father-in-law look so healthy and tanned and happy. He was, and when they were, as he was, when they were going up and fishing a lot. And I got to go with them once, and they'd go out quite a few miles out into Lake Erie and set up all these riggers and all this certain way that they catch the walleye. I mean, and there's a lot of work to it. Like, you're constantly busy and constantly moving. You know, the picture of someone fishing is someone sitting on a bank with a pole, you know, stringing the line in the water, and, you know, they're doing whatever. And that's fine too. But a true fisherman, all these men standing there, and they're looking out, and I want to use this as an example of this call for us. And this isn't just if you're gifting that way, but there's a call for all of us to be fishers of men, and it changes how you interact with men and how you interact with people. It matters. When I encounter people in the world that I know are not, you know, believers, it changes how I look at them if I'm being conscious of being a fisher of men opposed to just, oh, you're one of them. Us and them. And I think that they showed up in one of Bobby Connor's the journals that he wrote. What were they called? I shared it anyways. And it was Jesus and his heart for catching this huge catch of fish. And different prophetic people, Bob Jones, that we are looking, we're on the verge of a billion soul harvest. That's what they're believing for. And then we're living our lives and like, do you feel connected to that? Do you see any signs of it? Like, it's like, ooh, like it's, feels like it's like more distance, more tensions. And, you know, the us and them seems to be distance. And then the us and us is dividing. And it's like not feeling really great right now, if you're hearing me. And so here's this prophetic promise and these words coming down. There are a lot of men, a lot of spiritual men, a lot of men have, a lot of people, men and women as well, have picked this up, this prophetic call, you know, believing for the million soul harvest. And we're called to be fishers of men, and it's very busy, and if they're fishing, they're very intent. They're looking out at the ocean. They don't care who's walking behind them, for the most part. They're like oblivious. They're watching the water. They're watching their line. They're always evaluating, is this bait working? Is there still bait on the end of this line? Should I change that up? They're always fussing, messing, looking, and then they fellowship with one another based on that. And my son-in-law is so great about talking to everybody. And then you catch bait fish, and you have this net, and he goes out in the water. It's like, I got to watch him a lot just do this and work at this and cast the net out. It's just kind of a beautiful picture, actually. And then pull it in, see if he got anything or not. And then sharing that back and forth with the other fishermen. And they were this very busy. Like one night we went out on a pier and down at Sunset Beach, is that right? Sunset Island? Yeah, Isle, which is a little beyond Holden Beach. And beautiful pier, and we're walking out, and different people are fishing, and we walk by one man. I don't know if you saw it, doesn't matter. He's sitting on the bench, you know, and his fishing pole is kind of there. Maybe there was, you know, and he's on his phone, and he's got his feet up on the railing, and I'm like, you're not fishing. You just, you know, left the house so you get some peace and quiet. That's what you're doing out here, you know. But the normal fisherman is. There's a work and they're always like, what will work? What's working? And do I have a bait? Do I have a fish? Do I have a cat? Do I, you know? And they're always reevaluating and doing it. It's like it's a call to a whole lifestyle of looking. And so the question always is, when do you fish? And when is the right time? And I heard one older man say, never in a still tide. In other words, when the tide's not going in or out, don't fish then. I'm like, oh, I'll never use that. But that's interesting. But you've made that observation. Never when the tide's out and still, never when it's in and still. It's always, this tide has to be moving. Interesting. Why does he know that? Because he's done a lot of fishing in the ocean. He knows all about it. He knows what works. He knows what the times, the season, the bait, the what works, what doesn't work. And so then we have this passage in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, you can turn there if you want, in 4:18, as he was walking by the shore of Lake Galilee, Jesus noticed two fishermen who were brothers. One was nicknamed Kepha, or Peter, and the other was Andrew, his brother. Watching as they were casting their nets into the water, Jesus called out to them and said, come and follow me, and I will transform you, or I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me. I'm gonna teach you to do this with people. Now, here's what's phenomenal. Immediately, now, can you get men to stop doing anything like they're really focused doing, whether it's watching television or my grandson's already in this. If he's playing, like, don't bother me. I am playing with my trucks. Can't you see that? And It doesn't change. You get a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old. Once they're into something, you're like, hello, you know, McFly. Like, you can't get their attention. You can't get them, you know. These guys, I mean, to get them to stop fishing, like, boom, that's a miracle all about, you know, all by itself. Has anybody noticed that miracle in the Bible? They lay it down and walk away from it, like, whoa. And what they didn't realize was they were just caught. Jesus just caught them. Does any fish wake up in the morning and go, boy, I hope some fisherman catches me, puts a hook in my mouth, and pulls me in out of the water, you know? You're not looking for that. But for the sake of the bait and for the sake of what they're hungry for, people are so hungry right now. When you get them to calm down and drop the anger for a moment, they're hopeless, they're empty, they're sad, their marriages are bad. They don't have hope. Listen, folks, we have troubles. I used to be embarrassed about that. We have troubles, but we have hope. There's such a difference. We have things we go through, but we have hope. We are not left alone. There's something we keep pressing towards. More faith, more, you know, trusting in the Lord, more things. Like, we're going after something, and if something's wrong, we go, what's going on in my life right now? Lord, what, I'm going to back up. What's happening? We're not hopeless. We go, Father, there was a time when things were flowing and they're not, and what am I doing? Is there something? We have someone to appeal to that we can trust will show us and bring correction to our life. He's like, I've been waiting for you to ask that question. Let me show you something. It always bring your wife or somebody you're not that crazy about hearing from, but, you know, pay attention, listen up. So he caught them, he catches them. And there's this whole picture, I felt the Lord, like, I will make you fishers of men. And we get too introspective and we're not fishing anymore. We're not paying attention. For the sake of the unbeliever, there's things you say and don't do. And Paul talked about this. It may be okay for you to do this actually, but for the sake of the unbeliever, it causes them to stumble. Don't do it. We're like, and the answer, it's like, okay, Jesus, for their sake, if it matters, because it matters to him. He grieves over judging. He grieves over the end. We're trying to hasten the coming of the Lord, whatever that looks like. And he's trying to put it off, because the day he drops the final, whatever that is, the day it's over, there's a lot of souls that don't get another chance. And the Father grieves about that prophetically. I think he spoke, you know, he's just spoken to people's hearts. Like, this is the most grievous day of my life when I have to go, boom, cut off the deadline, bam, and hit. Fishing looks like something different for all of us. And you need to get there. We will listen to Kevin. He's so good about it. He can go out in the street and, you know, win three people and all. Like, he just is good. He just flows with that. Sometimes it takes years. Is that okay with you? To build trust in a person that they will come to the place where they trust you enough that they will believe what you say. It takes time for, I'm very slow to trust. Prophetic words, I have to know. I don't apologize for that, because it prevents me from jumping after everything. I have to weigh things out. I wait on stuff. There are people that I feel right about, people I don't, and I don't even claim to be right about my discernment. I wait on the Lord. And it's, you know, Phyllis is always like, come on, man, you're so slow about, you know, it's like. And over time she's learned to appreciate some of the slowness, some of the reluctance. But I'm built that way. I have to know. Once I know and once I trust, then I can believe. People are no different. Give them an opportunity to trust. Give them an opportunity to know that you're the real deal. Because there's a lot of fake going on, even in Christianity. There's a lot of phony going on. And we had to prove ourselves to be genuine, to be walking out what we are selling, what we're promoting, what we're testifying about. Like, I want to see it in your life. Let me live next door to you and see if it's real or if what you're saying is all just a crock. Anybody can put that on. And so fishing for men can be as simple as the kindness that you show. We do Second Food Harvest here, and because of the COVID, the National Guard shows up and serves the people. So that brings 6 to 8 young National Guardsmen to the building, and it's been kind of neat. And Phyllis oversees this whole thing here, and she's been making dinner for them. And I love watching her do that. Like, I'm like, Phyllis, it's so valuable. It may not seem like anything, but I know young people, I know people going out to do something like this. And especially what you give them, like, it's like we'd all probably line up if we knew she was serving this, that, or the other thing, you know. But it blesses me so much because I know it's showing a kindness to them. They're coming in, and it matters. These things matter. They build trust. They observe us, and they watch us. There are many of you do things. You folks work so much with the band. You have such the kids at the school love you. I don't have access, but you do. And you win their hearts because what? Because they call you mama. What's your name? Yeah, Mama Forbes, Papa Forbes, and these two just, they serve that band. And it's like they genuinely do for no reward. But it's an opening. I can't create a ministry that does more than what they do and how they're just there for them. And these kind of things that you do, like you'll have a desire, and Jesus promised, I will make you fishers of men. And it doesn't matter age, it doesn't matter what you have, what you don't have. The Lord uses all of us. It may be the nurse at the hospital. It may be whoever you interact with. It may be the attendant at the gas station where you stop and get coffee and donuts. That every act of kindness, every smile, instead of what these people have to deal with on a daily basis with the public, they call us the public, yeah. We can be quite obnoxious, can't we? And to be gracious to them, they're so relieved, like they're, I'm sorry, that took more than 3 seconds, you know. I'm like, it's good, it's all good. We're in too much of a hurry. It's fine. Or I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Like they're so nervous. And to have someone that just shows a kindness, shows a grace, those little things are big. And position yourself so that at the right time, because you build trust with them, you can speak something that will help their faith and build their faith. Jeannie Malone's just so good. She goes, before I started working at Walmart, I just go there. I just feel like I'm supposed to be here. I said, Jeannie, that's amazing. I never feel that. But she's called there. Like she has a real influence with just simply praying with people, and they come and find her. And many of you have similar stories. And we just had to develop this. I felt the Lord just say, I want to make you fishers of men. Like, awaken this in us. And not so the church grows. It's for his name's sake. Because this is what's on his heart. He called these men. What the heck did Jesus have to catch 4 fishermen? They're rough. They're gruff. They smell like fish. They're active. They do this day and night. You fish, then you fix your nets. You work on the boat. You do, like, there's a lot to it. And sometimes you catch fish, and sometimes you waste your time. And he comes and appeals to them. They drop this. What did he have? I'll tell you a couple things, and maybe you can expand this for yourself. But he was life itself, and they perceived that he had purpose. He was the embodiment of eternity. People are hungry for that, for things that are eternal, people that are eternal, people that have light in their eyes rather than darkness. And people that have purpose and vision, they're looking for purpose and vision. This is a dead-end job. I'm a fisherman. I go out in the water. I work my head off. I come back in with fish. I sell my fish. The next day, I go back out to the water. I fight with some of the other fishermen. I catch some more fish, maybe, and then bring them back in, and da-da-da. The price goes up. The price goes down. Things are good. Things are bad. A storm comes, trashes the boat. We're out of business for a while till we fix the boat. This is a grunge, man. This is hard. The engine just blew up in my boat. Of course, they didn't have those, but we do. And Jesus comes along, and he puts purpose to all that. He catches them with vision and purpose. And maybe there were some other things. And I love the movie, The Chosen, the series that's out. It just helps. Beautiful picture with the fishermen and them catching this. They're like, okay, we're sold. Whatever happens to the fish, I don't know, you know. You got us. Because he knows where to cast the net. He knows the times and the seasons, but it's supernatural. And you enter into, I want to teach you how to be supernatural. I want to teach you how to do this so that it doesn't burn you out, so that you don't labor at this. Another prophetic pick, and I'll the picture, and I'll close with this. One night, Ryan and I went out to the beach with my grandson, with Jace, his son. And Jace, man, he loves to run nonstop. You put him out on the beach and he just runs. And so he'll just go. I mean, you've got to watch. He doesn't go into the water, doesn't go off the whatever. And he was in a good mood. We have a grandson that's not always in a good mood. I like to talk about it when he's in a good mood and having a good day. You know, when he's not, wow. He's a bull in a china closet, like, look out. And so he was just like the household pet when we were down there as a family. And this is what blesses people. But I say this because this is what blesses people. He would just snuggle up to anybody, grab your leg. Like, he was just like the puppy that was running around the house with 10 adults of us or whatever was there. And he was neat, and he played with his cars and his trucks, and there was something about it that, and again, for us, like, there's something about the smile and the interacts, just connecting with people. It just wins them. They're hungry for this. Like, it's the time to fish. They're hungry for connection. They're hungry for family. They're hungry for the genuine. So we go on the beach, and he's off, and we're keeping up with him and walking. And everybody he goes by, I'm telling you, he was like in hyper mood. He's hi to everybody, like, you know, stopping traffic out on the beach, if you could, you know, imagine that. Every friendly people just like, oh my gosh, like this little boy, like he's, you know, he just connected with me, you know, and you can just see the impact. He just keep moving, rolling down that, and then all of a sudden he veers off to the, because we were walking east, he veers off to the left, up onto the drier sand, and there's a group of people, a big, like over 12, 15 people maybe, sitting on the back side of the beach, and they're in lawn chairs, and they're all sitting around a group. And you're like, oh yeah, I know what that looks like. They're having some kind of group meeting on the beach. I don't know if it was an AA meeting or church. I don't know what it was. I just don't know. It didn't matter. But they were obviously together, sitting there, like there was a public access there, ramp. So they probably came there just to meet. And they're sitting, and he's like, ooh, he just dials right in on the group. And Ryan and I, you can hardly keep up with him. And he just goes and he engages them from, I mean, he's from here to Cheryl, and he starts waving and, you know, and engaging them, and they see him coming, and pretty, and they're sitting at different directions, you know, in this semicircle or whatever it was. And he gets right up to them, and he has all of their attention just with this big smile and this waving, and this, he gets into this chatter, like speaking in tongues, I think is the best description for it. And every once in a while, an English syllable, you know, comes out. He gets their attention, and I'm watching from a little bit of a distance, and he gets it, and he goes, moon. And over the ocean, the moon had come out, so it wasn't dark by any means. It was still, but the moon was out, very visible, very pretty. And he points to it because he loves the moon, and he's like, moon. And they all look, and I get this picture, like, click. I see this happen, and it was a picture of what we, it goes along with this be fishers of men. Turn with me to chapter to 2 Peter chapter 1, 19, and I'll close with this. I'm like, oh my gosh, this needs to become the priority of our life, that we point to the shining one. That for the purpose that we get people's attention for this purpose, that we point to the shining one, because that fulfills your eternal purpose and destiny. Bam, just like that. And when you come with this full of joy, childlikeness, it is so captivating. And it doesn't matter what your age is, when you capture that again, people are intrigued by it. It's so rare. Because we walk around with the weight of the world on our shoulders, and to be a genuinely happy, fulfilled, like it was just a picture of something. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm getting there. I know you're all there. 1 verse 19. Catch up. 2 Peter. It was 2 Peter. It is. Yep, 2 Peter 1, 19. Flip the page. I'm reading again out of the Passion Translation. And so we have been given the prophetic word, the written message of the prophets, made more reliable and fully validated by the confirming voice of God on the Mount of Transfiguration that happened in Matthew 17. I won't turn there, but what was that about? It was about trust. It was about authenticating who Jesus was, and these disciples with him, this verified Moses and Elijah showed up, and the voice of the Father. And it was like one of those moments you go, oh, dang, you are the Son of God. Like, you know these guys, you know, that thing. When you look at the person beside you and go, oh, you weren't just kidding that you know people. And so heaven shows up and authenticates. It's for the purpose of trust. And then Jesus, because there's a whole other reason for this, he asked them not to talk about this. Don't talk about this till after I die. You can write it down later, not now. He needed to keep who he was, what he was doing, a secret. And so he's authenticated. It's proving. And this references that. It's like, he was confirmed as being who he said he was, and you will continue to do well if you stay focused on it. Stay focused on the fact that Jesus is really who he said he is. For this prophetic message is like a piercing light shining in a gloomy place until the dawning of a new day when the morning star rises in your hearts. And if you love to watch the skies at all, if you're awake early enough to see the sunrise, there's always a morning, the morning star Venus always comes up, and it's like a picture of that. It waits till the morning to arise, and then it comes, and it's one of the most brilliant stars. Jesus is that shining star. And the revelation of his glory, that is what we're to point at. And when we point people to that shining star, there's no other thing that's worth pointing them to. And when we do it, as we know him and we behold him, like Jesus. He's the shining one. He's the one you can trust. And if you trust him, you can believe him. And when you believe him, nothing will be impossible for you. And you can have life and have it more and more abundantly. Father, we just close today, ask your blessing and ask you, you found these fishermen, these men, and you called them to yourself supernaturally. You were amazing. And I ask that we sense the same call, that you will make us fishers of men, that you will hook us up with destiny, because fighting for the sake of fighting and contending for the sake of contending is so vain. It proves nothing, but for the sake of your name and for the sake of your kingdom and for the sake of people knowing you, everything is worth enduring. Everything is worth if for your name's sake. And in these days, we just pray that your name will be kept and held up and honored, that your testimony will arise, that there will be verification that you are good, that you are here, that you're calling us to follow you, and that you will draw all men unto yourself. And so we just declare and proclaim, if you said there's a million soul harvest coming, then it will come. Then it will be. And we want to just be available to do and to be partners with you in all that you're doing. After all, you are the God of revival. Make us alive again. Make us awake again. Our whole country, our whole nation, so many visitations of revival, and we cry out again for men to know you and to be convicted about who you are and what you require and what you ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. It's good to be back.